on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city needs saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm in the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
Any preference on how you'd like to die? The flame or the frost?
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Supergirl on Rain Man Digital. If you are listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app, available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play Store. Simply search Rain Man Digital. I am the one and only Bobby D, and I'm in the studio today with Nicole.
What's up?
Unfortunately, our normal leader, Lauren, got sick on a tube coming back from New York.
Yeah.
So she went on vacation on our last week of break from the shows and ended up getting sick. So you're going to have to deal with me leading the way today. I think you can handle it.
And me just, you know, commenting, heckling. That's what I normally do.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. We'll get through it. It was a good episode. At least we got that going for us.
Yeah. And emotional and then confusing. And then
it really caught me off guard.
Yeah, it really did.
I mean, I don't know what I expected coming back from such like a long break, because legitimately we've been out of the studio for Supergirl for 9 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know what I expected, but I don't know if I expected like touchy-feely Supergirl comeback.
Yeah, no, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I mean, we left on a pretty interesting part with Rain, and I was like, okay, they could come back.
And then we watched the whole show.
Yeah.
And it was like, where the fuck's Rain?
I was like, yeah, wait, where'd our main storyline go?
Yeah, it was one of those things. You're like, what are we doing here? This is so weird. So we will be breaking down season 3, episode 14, Shot to the Heart. Wynn's father, the toy man, is found dead, and Wynn reunites with his mother. Again, I think we've called for a Wynn storyline for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice to have something focus on Wynn when he's been like he was like disappearing off screen for a while. And
yeah,
I was getting worried there.
You were worried that we'd get in one of these news stories and then come back and be like, Jeremy is leaving the show to pursue some other career.
Yeah.
You know, because it was getting to that point to where it looked like, you know, are we slowly writing this man off?
Yeah. And I mean, this episode doesn't really mean anything, though. They still could later, and I'm scared.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do it.
Just gave him some airtime that we hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah, but I was really glad to see him like taking, you know, front seat on this episode,
being more like season 1, season 2 win.
Yeah.
So
miss that.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. While we were gone, the CW decided to renew all the shows on the DC on CW universe.
Holler.
Yeah.
So we still have jobs.
Yeah. So that means Supergirl, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Black Lightning were all renewed. The other big news to come out of that is that they are adding Sunday to their lineup also.
That's interesting.
So we will get they will have 2 more hours of, you know, prime time television, because some reason CW only does 2 hours. But hopefully, and I know we dubbed this the Kreisberg break. You know, because after the showrunner was fired for being inappropriate, that we, you know, Supergirl magically went on this break for 9 weeks. But hopefully it cuts down on some of the breaks with the shows, because I know we've run through that to where all of a sudden we're gone for 5 weeks and then we're back for 2 and then we're dead gone for 2. And it's a hard thing to do when, you know, running a show when it's not consistently on.
Yeah, it was super difficult. And I mean, I really miss the show, but like watching it, like I got into my normal schedule And it was like, suddenly they're back. I'm like, oh, wait, it's a thing again. I thought the season was over and I was just going to have to wait. So no more of these guys, please.
Yeah. And the tough thing is we always wonder what it's going to look like when it comes to the, like the ratings of the show.
Yeah.
And Supergirl actually performed pretty well for being off for 9 weeks. It came back to 1.9 million viewers, which is only down basically a tenth of the point of what they normally average, which is around 2 million people per. So that was always something I was worried about, that when the show came back, especially because they don't do a good job of advertising it. It wasn't like it was slammed all over social media that it's like, catch Supergirl tonight. And it was you always wonder if people are catching on. But again, so it really didn't take that big of a hit for being off for so long.
Yeah, which makes me happy. Team Supergirl all the way.
And, hey, that's just some loyal fans that know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Including me.
Yeah. Speaking of knowing what's going on, there was a huge Easter egg in this week's episode that kind of doesn't have anything to do with Supergirl. And if I didn't see this article, I wouldn't have been able to tell like you and Steve what was going on, because I didn't catch it as a Batman Easter egg. But if you remember in the toy scene with the toys running around and like the model airplane bombs and everything else where they're fighting, you know, our Bat of the Week. In the factory, you see a mechanical T-Rex chase it down. And now that is a huge Easter egg to Batman, where a mechanical Tyrannosaurus Rex came out in one of the comics. And it's actually a famous thing that if you've ever seen anything of a Batcave, and we both have the prints in our house.
Yeah, we have the awesome Batcave prints.
And you see all like his trophies from defeating bad guys. And one of his major trophies is this mechanical T-Rex that showed up in Supergirl today. So it was kind of a cool nod, subtle nod. You know, it wasn't one of those like, you know, Arrow scream out Batman or Bruce Wayne's name. But it was a cool thing. Intentional?
Maybe, I would say, yeah. I mean, it's DC and CW writers love pulling that all the time.
Yeah, see, and that's always one of those things I wonder when they do this is people like us, like stretch, be like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's from this and that's from that. And you're like,
yeah, they're like, let's see how hardcore the nerds are this week. And let's just throw this in there and see if they catch it.
Yeah. And so if you're interested in looking it up for some reason, it's from 1946. It's a Batman number 35. You know, basically Batman and Robin find themselves in an amusement park called Dinosaur Island. So they travel to Jurassic Park, except they're basically mechanical dinosaurs. So,
yeah. And that's where we get that.
Yeah. So if you guys want to know where Michael Crichton stole his idea from, it was from Bob Kane in 1946. He just updated it.
Nice. So, I love it.
All right, with that, we're going to jump to a quick break, and when we get back, we will break down this episode.
I love it.
Are you crying?
No.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
This is Star Wars, from the Bunker Tank Exclusive.
It's operational.
And if you can't get on board that idea, then you probably shouldn't be making movies, or you just go make a low-budget indie film where you don't have to answer to anybody.
Yeah. Do your own project.
Yeah. So I have so much confidence for the upcoming Han Solo movie. I hope it doesn't suck now, because I'm putting all the chips on the table here, Dave.
In the back of my brain, I'm like, please don't be bad.
We're really blowing this. Watch it be the worst movie ever.
And then we have to come in the next day and go,
liar!
You were wrong.
I hate you, Ron Howard.
The worst decision.
Why did you fail me?
I hate you.
If we did that, that would be so on par with Star Wars fans. That would be me. That would be us.
That'd be our destiny.
TheBatMatee.com for more details. And get ready for an excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. That is to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Please, Lauren,
we got a gem from Florida. Pensacola woman mistakes 37-week pregnancy for bad Chinese food.
What?
She was actually 37 weeks pregnant. She was on the verge of giving birth to her second son. She's already been pregnant before.
You fucking idiot.
This is like, how? Were you drunk the entire pregnancy before this?
Probably.
So she called off work at 5 a.m. and an hour later, as the pain worsened, she woke her fiance up because they needed to call an ambulance. The stomach pains were excruciating and I could hardly move. I think it was about 6:30 a.m.
Wake up!
This goddamn orange chicken's ripping a hole in me!
Hold on, wake up, Jen! Wake up! I think I ate too much at the local Chinese buffet!
I told you too much of that moose shoe pork was gonna do this!
Oh, please! I need to go to the emergency room! Oh, please! One time I heard my cousin Elvira tell me something similar happened to her. She ate at the local little Chinese restaurant and she almost died.
She had cream of Sillian guy.
I should have had the steamed rice.
It escalated so quickly that I was having contractions and we figured out kind of what was going on, because at first we really didn't know what was going on. But there was a doctor, she said it was possible for a woman to learn of her pregnancy just hours before going into labor, but in her 20 years of practice, she's only witnessed it 3 times.
Oh, please. Something's happened to my bowels.
My bowels?
You gotta take me to the emergency room, Jethro, please. I don't know what's happening.
Get in the goddamn airboat. We'll drive on down to the local.
For some reason, the Chinese buffet's coming out of my pussy. I don't know why.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, DEAL30, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And for your viewing pleasure, 6 free spicy movies on DVD, plus
free shipping.
Always sent in discreet packaging. So go to AdamandEve.com now. Get 50% off plus 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code DEAL30. Again, that's DEAL30, because without it,
no free stuff.
That's DEAL30 at AdamandEve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, we are back, and we will be breaking down Season 3, Episode 14, Shot Through the Heart, directed by Glenn Winter, written by Caitlin Parrish and Derek Simon. I had a fight every like part of my being as like kind of producer of this show not to put Shot Through the Heart in the show somewhere.
I almost broke out in a song just now, I'm not gonna lie.
It was hard for me. I was like, don't go down the cheese aisle right now. Like, let's come back strong. Don't just start
You might have had this green tea thrown across the room at you if you did.
I was like, it was hard for me. I was like, what song can I use? I'm like, don't do it.
Yeah, but at the same time, as soon as you said the title, I almost started.
Everybody goes right to there, and you instantly start singing the song in your head.
Yeah.
And I mean, they know what they're doing with the freaking pun of a name like that.
Oh, exactly. So. And I mean, it kind of works out like so perfectly because they start off the episode with karaoke.
Oh, of course.
Go figure.
Of course. Yeah. That's how we come back from, you know, our Kreisberg hiatus is them in a karaoke bar singing. And you know, there was a lot of like drama and sad parts in this, but this was more like a fun moment, I guess, for this episode that balanced it out a little bit. Because I don't know if I could have handled like consistently what we saw with the lying, the deaths, and you know, diseases and everything else that we learned this episode. So it was kind of nice to see like this karaoke side. Now, I'm going to ask you this question: are you like pro or against like karaoke?
It kind of depends on the day.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, I would totally.
Would you grab a mic and sing?
Yes, I would totally do it. Yes.
What would be your song?
The classic of everyone's song, probably Don't Stop Believing.
Don't. You want the kind of the crowd participation songs that, you know, people will help you out with, you know, singing with you.
Totally. Cause then they can't tell just how awful I'm singing. Yeah. But I mean, if you get me drunk, then it's probably not going to matter at that point. But
usually if you're in one of these bars, it doesn't matter at the time anyways. You're going to get like the guy that, you know, thinks he's really good, and then the guy that's really,
so
really good.
Awful.
And,
you know,
then it's like me that follows the guy that's really good.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, and it's really hard because Steve is so not a karaoke person. He is.
He's Captain Stiff. Of course. He would never do anything that would make him look bad in public.
Oh, yeah. And he's going to be all, I'm just over here drinking my scotch. So he is not a karaoke person. Yeah. So if I even suggested, if I just have a night where I'm like, I want to go sing, I want to go dance, and like, oh my God, he's like, no.
He's like, go by yourself.
I'm not going by myself ever. No, I'd have to call like someone.
For me, like in my drinking days, I would like, well, I pretty much would do anything now for a laugh or a joke. So I would, I've actually crawled across a bar singing Britney Spears for free drinks all night while singing.
What?
Yeah.
What? Okay. We have to do this.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm totally for it. And the scene completely worked for me because it is always one of those things that it brings a lot of people together, because it's always fun to watch coworkers or friends or family get up there and are willing to make kind of like quote unquote idiots of themselves, you know, because it's always like a vulnerable thing, and it's a fun thing. And not every, like we pointed out with Steve, not everybody can do it.
Oh, totally. But I mean, my coworkers at my day job, they are so down for it. They keep saying that they will. So we might all have to just end up at a karaoke bar during Phoenix Comic Fest.
I'm sure we could. All right. Now we're done with that. You know, the let's call it the fun part of the episode.
With a couple little jabs of sadness, like with Alex.
Yeah. Let's get down to like the real topics of the show. And Supergirl kind of went into that time-tested Arrowverse kind of tradition of lying. And we all know lying doesn't make friends.
No, it never does.
But it must suck for Mon-El, because we find out the Legion is actually here to stop a world killer that is basically destroying them in their time. It's the same world killer that we haven't found yet on our Earth. And kind of Mon-El was lied to by his wife and his quote-unquote best friend, and, you know, they wrecked here. Now, this one was like I don't know how I would feel on this one. I'd be probably a little upset.
Yeah, I mean, like, I felt really conflicted with it. I wouldn't know how to feel if I were in his shoes. So I'm like, well, it makes sense, but at the same time, like, why the hell would you lie to me about something like this?
Especially if it was something that could technically save us.
Exactly. It's like, you lied to me to protect my feelings, but why?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
It's like, I could either deal with this, or we could watch a billion people die. Or
yeah.
Whatever was going on at their time at their...
Again, you know. I have a feeling he would have chose to deal with his feelings.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, you know, relationships are always built on trust, and whether it's a friendship or, you know, a significant other, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you're into, and you find out they're lying to you, all of a sudden now you look at, at least for me, when I know somebody's lied to me, like something major like this, I look at them a lot different and a lot less.
Absolutely.
You know, I become a little like more detective-y and like, so...
So,
you said you were cooking dinner, but I found you checked in on Facebook, you know, at this place. What was going on?
You said you were busy and you can't be online, but I saw you posting on Facebook just 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Those cat memes over there. Yeah. We totally turned into like FBI stalkers.
And so it's going to be an interesting, like, how this plays out for Saturn Girl and Mon-El here. Because he's got to confront him, right? Like, it just can't be like, well, I told Kara, you know, I'm good now, because that's who I talked to.
And she didn't even show up this episode. So I was like, okay, did they break up already? Does this mean we can get Mon-El and Kara back? Do I want them back?
Yeah. Well, and that's the question here, is that in Legends, they've established time travel rules. I mean, even if you've never watched Legends, you've seen Back to the Future, you've seen all this stuff. If you've watched Flash, you've seen what happens when Barry runs back and fucks everything up all the time.
Yeah, it just everything gets fucked up every time, no matter what.
Every time. So how is this any different with the Legion coming back to try to stop this world killer in present day? Maybe they come up and they stop it, but it fucks up their future even worse because something else comes up.
Yeah.
It's always that question. Or like we have this like, this is the way I always look at it. It's like if they stop it, is Mon-El just going to disappear because there was no reason for him to come back? Like we're going Back to the Future, Marty McFly style, when he's playing the guitar and everybody just starts disappearing as they're knocking off this world killer.
Yeah. What the hell's going to happen?
And for me, I think the most difficult thing is, like, I've been doing Flash for 4 years now, and I've watched them struggle with the time thing. And Legends has somewhat got it, where they've come with the thing of, hey, leave it alone, don't mess with it, you know, the kind of the basic time travel rules. Yeah. I don't know if I want this cluster in Supergirl now that we know they've come back for this reason.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it. I was just kind of like, okay, let's see how this goes. Like, I have no idea what to expect with this. I don't know where it's going relationship-wise with those two. I don't even know if Mon-El's going to, like, stick around.
Yeah.
I don't think I want it.
Yeah, so if they end up stopping this world killer and they somehow, go to, you know, poof, disappear, like Marty McFly style... Does he doesn't remember the fact that they lied to him to get back into time.
So it's just this big fucking circle of just stop.
Yeah, I mean, this could turn into a confusing type storyline here of what do we do? And when he first told her, the first thing I thought about was like, oh shit, we don't stop all the world killers this season.
That could be an
option. If one of them get away, obviously, because they fuck up, then one of them fucks up the future. So I don't know. It'll be an interesting play, how they do it and make sure they do it right. Because again, time travel is one of those things that is just so like sensitive.
Yeah, I would say really sensitive. Because if you like fuck one thing up, then you have to be able to explain it. But it could conflict with this other thing that's already happened.
Yeah.
You could just end up in this.
Just monologue city of them trying to explain, or they get the whiteboard out like they do in Flash and start drawing like
this over here.
This timeline and this timeline and this timeline. And if you see you loop back to here and it goes to here and the tangent of this triangle and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I'm like, and I'm over it. Let's move on.
Yeah, exactly. So the second liar we see this week.
Who was also absent.
Who was also
left us hanging.
Gone. And I thought it was going to be a big part of the comeback because like we talked earlier, we left off with her and Rain, you know, Miss Luther here, Lena, saying that she was going to help.
Yeah, she was absent. I know exactly what we can do to help you. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, what the hell are you going
to
do?
Yeah. And then we come back to karaoke.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, this isn't helping.
Yeah. And so, you know... Of course, Jimmy is kind of smitten now and keeps calling her up, trying to figure out where she is. And the assistants don't know where she is. And she's missing for what they say, 3 days? Wait, yeah. No call, no show, because she's busy in quote unquote meetings.
Meetings.
Yeah. And the camera pans back. And what are we meeting? No, we're in some weird hospital thing with with Sam all hooked up.
Yeah. It looked like she was in an underground lair.
Yeah.
With like half a hospital room built in it for whatever reason.
Yeah, it looked like one of those places where you go get underground like liver transplants.
Seriously, I thought she was gonna steal her kidney. what the hell?
Right? Like, so we get into this thing to where we've always, you know, pretty consistently over the whole time we've been doing this show, you know, with them being Lena and Kara being best friends about everybody knows that she's Supergirl except her. Yeah. Well, now we have this thing to where she's now lying to Jimmy and now probably going to be lying to the rest of the crew of what's going on, but yet they've all been lying to her this whole time about who Supergirl is.
Man, this entire show is just built on lies.
Right? No, like, I was watching it thinking, going, man, like, how can I get, like, if I got mad and then you found out that I was lying about you and I'm mad at you about a lie, can you be mad at me about a lie?
Like, I know. Or do they cancel each other out and we just go, yeah, fuck it, we're moving on.
Yeah, like, it's such a confusing thing. And we've kind of seen Supergirl stay away from this. Like, again, I call it the Arrowverse kind of tradition, because every other show seems to lie a lot more than Supergirl.
Yeah.
And agreed. Supergirl comes back with just a shit ton of lies this week that, again, especially with this one, Jimmy and them have been lying to her, and now she's lying back to them. I'm going to assume that she's not going to tell them that, you know, I have Rain in my little lair and I'm trying to fix her.
Oh, yeah. And the question is, does she actually know that it's Rain yet?
That is a good, because she just knows she's sick.
Yeah. We actually always watch the preview for the next one after, and they're talking and she doesn't seem to still know, but I can't tell. They left it vague enough that you can't tell if Lena knows yet.
Not one of those, like, huge spoiler alert in the next preview.
Yeah, no. Ah. Like, but it was like, what's wrong with me? And that's pretty much all you get.
It's always one of those things, as, like, the third-party viewer in this, you always be like, oh, she has to know. You assume that she knows, but of course we don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to go with she doesn't know.
No,
yet.
She doesn't know, but again, is she going to tell, like, oh, our friend is sick?
Yeah, that's the key question, though. I mean, like, is she going to tell Kara?
There's still a lie that could go on here.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, you lied about this. Well, bitch, you lied about this.
So it'll be an interesting play, because we have, I think, what are we on, 14? So we have, like, 8 episodes left.
Yeah.
And we got to figure the last couple ones are going to be all, you know, some...
Where the shitstorm is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be.
Better be.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I don't think it's going to turn out good at all.
I will have to agree with you there. I cannot see anyone coming out of this being happy.
No, because, like, again, two negative or two lies don't make a positive.
But it also seems
to... It's not even the same, but whatever.
Yeah, and it also seems to be the pattern of these CW shows, at least for me, because I started with Arrow, and then I, you know, continued with Flash. I kind of skipped Legends. Don't throw rocks at me.
No, it's fine.
But I've been watching Supergirl. No. But they all start off, like, happy and generally happy and pretty cool and badass and
like
blah,
an
blah, blah,
like
blah.
An upbeat type thing.
Yeah. And then they all go into this dark depression for the next season because something major happened, and, like, it gets just, everyone's fucked.
Yeah.
The entire relationship between everyone just blows up somehow. And this might be what we see with Supergirl.
Yeah, there's no way I see this turning out to where they're all going to be, you know, episode 22 or 23, whatever this ends at, in that same karaoke bar all together.
There ain't
going to
be no karaoke after this.
Yeah, singing, going, yeah, you know, it was a rough one, but we got through this together.
Yeah, no, I would be shocked if Alex and Kara are doing their little couch wine sipping nights.
They're not watching Supernatural with ice cream.
Oh, hell no. No, I don't see this happening at all.
Yeah.
I'm so scared.
Yeah, no, it's a risk they're running right now with this, that it just, you could see the explosion coming. You're like, you're waiting for that car wreck because it's coming.
Oh, yeah. Shitstorm ahoy.
With that, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll, get into the daddy issues of this episode.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
The biblical allegories that we talked about last week with the innocence, like much like we saw with the first creations, Adam and Eve, that I think definitely connects to the general theme of Westworld.
What is that, you might ask? For me, first second that happened, I was like, hey, that probably has something to do with kryptonite.
Darth Vader could not open the crystal. Kanan cannot open the crystal. Ahsoka cannot open the crystal, okay? The reason I'm pointing this out in this episode, what does the Bendu do? He takes the
starting
thing.
Point and an ending point, and it told its story pretty damn well. There's a couple gripes or a few little changes that anybody on the internet or ourselves have talked about, but overall, season 11 was great. I look back at season 10 now with...
Catch up on your favorite Rain Man digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rain Man Channel 001. Listen from the Rain Man digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
All right, we are back. Again, this was kind of like a win-centric episode. It's been a long while since we've had like a story about him, and we finally got a lot more background detail into what makes him him and what the hell happened between him and his parents. You know, so it opens up with Wynn, you know, trying to sing his song, and some reason the TV behind him is on the news, and his dad's picture pops up and he died in prison, you know. And this opened up the opportunity for Wynn's mother to reappear in the picture after, what did they say, like 20-something years?
Yeah, it was at least 22?
Something like that. Yeah.
I'm ballparking this.
Yeah, exactly. What did you think when she showed up?
I was almost afraid it was going to be like their version of Harley and Joker type deal. I was a little bit afraid of that because I don't want that. But yeah, I wasn't sure. I was very wary of her, as probably everyone was. And I wasn't sure what her intentions were, especially after he was like, you've been gone for over 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
So like this was, what, Laurie Metcalf? Yeah, that's her name. You know, who's back on Roseanne now. And, you know, that's, I think, what she's probably most famous for. But it is a kind of a major, like, actress, let's say, like a recognizable one.
Yeah.
Does that, like, sway your opinion of, like, when she shows up on screen, you're like, that bitch is going to do something?
A little bit. Because, I mean, we saw it.
Right?
We saw it with Mon-El's parents.
Yeah. Hercules and Terry Hatcher showed up. But like, yeah.
Yep. They bad guys.
Yeah, something's going to happen. Like, this ain't right.
Shit going down.
But that's instantly what I thought when she showed up. It's like, oh, this isn't, like, you know, actor 7342 from the cattlecade that is the Vancouver CW universe that they just grabbed the, you know, out of there. It was, you know, again, Laurie Metcalf, somebody that I recognize from major sitcoms. It's it's somebody that, and I'm like, yeah, she's gonna be bad again. Maybe fall, like, I didn't go into the Joker Harley thing, but I did fall into like, oh, you kind of did this to your dad, I'm coming back for revenge, especially with the explosion that happened. So, you know, a bomb goes off in the casket, and of course, Supergirl saves the day. And they go to the DEO again. You know,
because
the,
of course, the, anyone the, can come
the
in.
The most secretive, least protected building in the world.
Yeah.
I was like,
come on in.
Yeah. It's just like, oh shit, you guys got a now serving sign on the outside of that building? Because you just keep bringing in random ass people when, I don't know, like, a general hospital would have done just fine.
Yeah, come on in, Mama Toy Man.
Yeah, so they bring in, you know, the mother, and of course, now toys are attacking DEO because, again, it's the worst kept secret in the city. Everybody knows where it is.
Yeah, apparently.
And so we see some interaction between Wynn and his mother, and it was still kind of weird. Like, you still were in that doubt mode. At least I was.
Oh, big time.
Where you just didn't trust it because all of a sudden, magically, she shows up at the funeral. There's an explosion. She shows up at DEO. There's bomb airplanes coming through. Not like bomb ass airplanes, but like actual boom. And, of course, she offers to take it apart. And as soon as they started taking it apart, I'm like, she's trying to fucking hide something.
Yeah. Well, was it the Flying Monkeys or am I?
Oh, Flying Monkey. Yes, yeah. It was the Flying Monkeys. My
bad. Because I remember I was like, it's the Wicked Witch of the West over here.
That is right. I got my flying bombs confused. My bad.
There was plenty of them.
Yes. So yeah, they were Flying Monkeys at first.
Yeah, it was weird.
and when she started taking it apart and you see her kind of steal something, you know, again, instinct says that you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And magically she gets into an armory and
of course, yeah,
gets a gun. Because again,
where's security here? Oh, we don't have any.
Again, you would think after all these years, well, you know, we had Jeremiah Danvers, which is the only half dead dad that didn't show up this week. After Jeremiah went all freaking rogue, you would upgrade some things.
You would think, but apparently the DEO is like, oh, we have Supergirl around. She'll save us.
But the funny thing is, like, Wynn's mom was making jokes. Look, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, as she's running by all these people that are supposedly going to protect them from everything that's going on. And so, you know, throughout this, we kind of get pieced together more of like the background of Wynn. And we find out that, you know, it was supposedly getting taken to Disneyland in the middle of the night, but, you know, the mom wrecked the car. And what we find out is that they were actually running from the dad.
Yeah, that story. Oh, my God. Like, all the feels right there. Like, and Wynn didn't seem to remember that or recall it that way.
Yeah.
At all.
No.
So, and it ends up being like an abuse story, which is really, really sad. And yeah. Actually, I think that's where I started to connect with her. And I was like, okay, maybe she's not bad.
Exactly. And
but at the same time, the nagging doubt in the back of your mind, like, she making it up?
Yeah, exactly. You do that with these shows. You just, you know, especially when you do what we do, you sit there and you're just like, yeah, now there's more to this. I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah, we're trying to be the writers.
Well, I'm trying to get to the punchline before they do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work. But it was a good background into Wynn, and I was kind of glad that they didn't go the initial route, what I was thinking in my head. Because, again, I would have bought into the whole, like, oh, she's part of the bad, you know, thing. And, you know, it ends up being some, you know, jailhouse guard that loved him.
Yeah, Harley.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Bring all Harley on it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually really glad they didn't do that at all. Well, they kind of did with the villain of the week. It felt Harley-esque to me, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that they didn't do that with the mom. And she ended up, you know, being a good guy. And
yeah.
And it really was just like her wanting to escape him. And you also, like, you really get to see why Wynn is the way he is.
Yeah.
Through this. And I really liked that character development this week.
Yeah. And again, it was good to see. And it wasn't forced. It was part of the story. Mm-hmm. And it was believable in everything that they said. And so, again, I liked it a lot. But we kind of got into the airplane scene earlier, and even the Tyrannosaurus Rex coming through. What did you think about it? Like, the whole scene in general, like, the, you know, Mon-El and Supergirl and all the airplanes and getting vacuum sealed and whatever the hell else happened in that, you know.
I know. It was very chaotic. Like, it was kind of hard to follow. But I thought it was okay. It was all right. Steve kept commenting on, like, dude, she could breathe even when she, like, got turned into an action figure. That got a little giggle out of us, but it was okay.
Yeah, see,
it wasn't one of their best work.
No, for me, the CGI and some of the shit that they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
There was it looked bad. And I don't know if it was, like, Mon-El doing superhero flips, the new superhero flips. You know, and there was just, like, I don't know, everything about it just looked bad for me. And I was just like, oh, why did you guys, like, make these choices?
Yeah.
Because so even with, like,
okay.
Yeah, Jimmy and with the Guardian Shield and Wynn trying to run and, like, the explosions looking behind them, I'm like, it wasn't their best effort, which kind of disappointed me because, you know, we only had, the flying monkeys. You know, the explosion doesn't cost a lot of money. There was no flying, really.
Yeah, but that cape, oh my God.
Yeah.
That cape was just so obvious with the way he was doing it. I was like, I can't with this. But I did like that they had that in there to bring up his other costume later.
Yeah, which if you guys don't follow us on social media, you should, because we had pictures of that up, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, a while ago. And it's going to show up next episode.
Oh, so it showed up in the
preview. Oh, yeah, trailer. It totally showed up in the preview. So it was like a glimpse of it because, you know, at the end they were talking about the cape tricks or wherever the hell that was. And
yeah, it was at the end.
She was like, I want to learn that. Yeah, he totally whips it out to train her. Whoa. Wait.
Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does. He just whips it out and just slaps it on the table.
Oh, my.
Yes.
I wish we were taking video because your face when you just realized what you said.
Where my mind went? Yeah,
was
I was like.
So fucking excellent. Oh, my God.
He whips it. Wait.
Oh, that was hilarious.
He just whips it out like a big dick. We're just going with this now.
Yeah. So at least they set up the costume thing.
They did.
Which is a lot better than him just showing up one day and be like,
oh, hey guys, I decided to have a cape today.
Found another suitcase.
Yeah.
You know.
it came out of a time warp. Yeah. But I mean, that was cool to be able to set that up, but the movement of the cape was very obvious.
The movement of the cape, even though like the fighting in general just looked sloppy this week, and it was disappointing because there was so much like good storytelling going on, and you don't want to be distracted by things like that. But then you're watching it, you're going, "What the hell is this shit?
What the fuck is it?"
Like, did you pay too much for the karaoke microphones with the lights in it? Like, what's going on here?
Because we know how they are.
They're budgeting.
They're budgeting for later. So what are we getting later?
Three world killers are going to be a little too much.
A little bit much, especially if they come together on one screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, the scene was in terms of effects and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a fun ride.
Yeah, no.
Story-wise.
Story-wise, it was fine. It was just the follow-through with the effects and crap just weren't there.
Yeah, but I was actually rather happy that it was Wynn that took down the villain of the week. I was like, yeah! Normal guy gets it.
Exactly. You got all these people with toys and superpowers. It's like, yeah, the normal dude gets him.
Yeah.
Or gets her.
Yeah. Did you think that he was going to lose his mom there, though?
I always wonder if they would have done it differently, knowing that he is not probably going to be available, because this was probably filmed way before the Roseanne like revival came up.
Yeah.
You know, a revival and let's say renewal, you know, because they filmed their 10 episodes and I think they thought that was going to be it. And then magically it's a TV show again, you know, so she's probably going to be busy on that. And that's on ABC. It's not even on like a CBS. At least they're owned by the same people and they could pass them back and forth. So I never know what the availability of the actress is going to be in the future.
Very true.
And that's when they might make those decisions of killing her. So, but at that time, no, because I just think that would have been too much heartache for Wynn.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always worried that he's going to, like, go back to be the toy man, you know, because that's...
And that's what he worries about, though.
But again, what usually sets those people in motion is some kind of traumatic thing.
True.
You know, with the Joker, it only takes one bad day.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So, and that was a real damn bad day.
Yeah, so I could only imagine, like, the same day you find out your mother is your fucking hero, that technically saved your life and then abandoned you for a reason for you to grow up to be who you are, and to lose her in that same kind of time period would have been crushing for him.
Oh my God, yeah. And then I would have been crying because it's sweet baby Wynn. We can't have the cinnamon roll going bad on us.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want that right off the bat, so.
No, because we're still waiting for Lena to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, there was so much bad news going on. I don't know if we could have taken a death on top of learning that Hank's dad has alien Alzheimer's.
Like, fucking, yeah. Like, okay, way to kick me right in the feels.
And I think we had talks about this before the break that we're just like, what are they doing? Like, oh, he was locked in the DEO, but now he's just locked in the apartment.
Yeah, it's like, why are we making him a hermit?
Yeah, and so, he comes out to karaoke night, and of course Alex wants to see the house. You know, because nobody's seen the apartment yet, and they have her over for dinner. And then we find out, like, just how bad his memory or his, like, alien Alzheimer's, I don't know what they're going to call it, is. He doesn't remember anything. And it's kind of sad to see. It's like, oh, you mean like your other grandchildren? Oh, yeah. And you just like you start feeling for it. And it's not even because I care that much about him. Mm-hmm. It's because I worry about, you know, Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Again, it's another person that just got this person back.
Exactly. And that would have been.
And now he's going to have to deal with, you know, because it's going to come up because it came up at the end of the episode when we finally figured it out, because his dad kind of goes on like a little weird, like Alzheimer's rampage, and Alex ends up leaving the dinner early. And again, I think it's going to be a real difficult thing, especially with a man like, you know, Martian Manhunter or Hank or whatever we're going to call him today. that it's so stoic and like a proud and like a strong leader just to get somebody back to have them taken away. And, you know, again, we just talked about Wynn could have just went through that. So. Oh,
absolutely. So it was really, really, really depressing to see. And I mean, it's really relatable. So it made that whole storyline more human. Hey, but it was really, really emotional. It was so sad to watch. And like you said, like Hank is so stoic, and then just seeing him in that moment when they realize it, it's just
like,
I may have shed a tear.
If you were Alex, would you have told him earlier instead of putting it off like she did?
I don't know. Like, imagine if, okay, we're going to use Steve as an example.
That's fine.
We're going to use old man Steve over here. Like, if you had found out that, or started realizing that he had something like Alzheimer's or some other like crazy disease like that, would you have told me like immediately?
I think I would have, only because I dated a girl whose dad had Alzheimer's. Uh-huh. And I would see him like flip out. And sometimes she was scared because he would just forget things and just get all like nervous. And like you would see, it never like violent, but you never knew what was going on, like what he would remember and what he wouldn't. And I think it would just, as a friend, I think I would tell you, because I wouldn't want that scenario to come into where he woke up one day and you were sitting there and he's like, who the fuck are you? Get the fuck out of my house. You know, if it turned to that, you know, because it is something that where when you deal with somebody that kind of has dementia, that you have to start dealing with it and you have to learn how to deal with it. And yeah,
absolutely.
I just don't know if I could have hid that from somebody, especially who's like a father figure to me. You know, I think I would have told him right away.
Yeah, I feel like, especially if you know the signs, like, it's one thing if you aren't really realizing it yourself.
Yeah, you
obviously.
Yeah, you forget that she is a badass doctor ninja lady.
Yeah, so she would have known like immediately, like, oh God.
She should be able to tell the symptoms.
Yeah.
And so
I probably, in her shoes, like if I knew the symptoms right away and I was already catching on, I probably would have been like, hey, Hank, buddy, we got to talk. There's a thing happening.
I mean, especially when you don't know like alien DNA.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe you tell him and he's like, oh, this shit happens all the time back on Mars. You know,
that's normal. It's just another Tuesday.
Yeah. All we need is a carrot, a sugar cane, and, you know, something else. And we're good to go. You know,
good to go.
I mean, because you don't know the chemistry of it. You don't know the DNA. You don't know what their science says.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the only question I had is, I assume mind melding is not a sexual thing. You know, that it, you know, it seemed like everybody on Mars was connected.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
If, like, me and you had, like, mind meld at one time, and, like, we had that connection, and I could feel you starting to, like, short circuit... Like, I might be looking too deep into it, because again, they can make up whatever they fucking want, because really mind melding's not a thing. So again, I could be looking too deep into it, but I kind of half expected Hank to be like, Alex, it's all right. I know I can feel my dad.
Yeah. Maybe it was one of those things where the writers totally forgot about it. You never know. But I don't think it's a sexual thing. Like, there was...
No, I'm not saying it was a sexual... I'm just saying in general, though, like...
Like, yeah, for their race.
Yeah, their race. If they've all been connected like that, shouldn't...
Yeah, because they've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. So, maybe he did not know, or he doesn't understand it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
How do you think Hank is going to handle this, though, now that he does kind of know?
See, what I worry about now is that this is just going to be a distraction for him against, like, the after the main storyline, where, you know, he's usually solely focused on the DEO and protecting the world. And then, you know, when something bigger comes up, like, you know, if something was to happen to Deb or my daughter, I could care less that I'm on a fucking radio show right now. I'd be like, all right, guys, have a good night and I'll see you later. Fucking pull the headphones off and leave.
Yeah.
You know, without
You'd be like
thinking
the damn
about
Flash.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like we all have responsibilities, but there are always bigger responsibilities out there, you know? And when it comes to that, it'd be like family is going to be there. And so I see him, and I don't know if I really want this, but taking more of a back seat to the DEO. And what I worry about with Supergirl is that they've always kept, like, their storylines, I'm not going to say simplistic, but, like, it didn't branch. You know, we kind of had, like, everybody was on the same path going forward. And this week, you know, I'm not going to call Wynn a branch, but, you know, we have, or even, like, Lena, you know, doing her thing. But now we have Hank that has nothing to do with the end game goal of stopping the world killers now branching off.
Yeah.
You know, and I just worry about show-wise, pacing-wise, writing-wise, that, like, if they don't work this right, it's just going to be a distraction to the main storyline.
That does make sense. But do you think it could be their way of also, like, we've discussed it in previous episodes where they did this last time they faced Rain. They basically took him out by forcing him to have to hold up a damn cement pillar because he's, like, one of the most powerful characters. Do you think this is another way that they are just going to keep him from being able to, like, essentially end the storyline sooner than it should?
It's the nerfing of Martian Manhunter.
It totally is.
Yeah.
They're nerfing him.
Yes, they're totally nerfing him. And
do you think that's what they're doing with this storyline?
No, when you say it that way, I could see that because, again, we always pull the whole, like, shouldn't Clark come fucking help?
Right?
You know?
It's like, can't Clark just come in and...
Like, why didn't Barry come in through one of them breaches and figuring this shit out? Like, why didn't everybody come and help if these are world killers? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, I think it they're trying to figure out how to effectively nerf Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. So that could be why. I mean, I definitely didn't expect this to, like, be a thing.
No. When it wasn't even, again, but mainly because he wasn't on screen.
Yeah.
It's not like at one time he's like, I did forget my jacket. And next time it was like, oh, I forgot my pants, you know, or something weird like that, you know, where they set it up.
That would have kind of been funny if it was the pants thing.
Just walking in the DEO with no pants on.
Team no pants.
Yeah. So, it came out of nowhere. I'm not going to be mad at it because it's going to give Hank that emotional human side. I think the only issue I had with this whole, like, storyline between Alex, Hank, and his dad was, like, the whole, like, why did you choose to be a black man when you can be everybody? Yeah. I was like, oh, don't do this, please.
Yeah, they definitely went a little political, and I was like,
yeah.
Let's not. I actually kind of, not going to lie, zoned out a little bit at that point, because I'm like, come on, I don't know.
Especially, like, he didn't choose to be the black man is who he took over. The guy was, you know, it's not like he came down and was like, yeah, I'm going to be that dude.
Yeah,
no,
right?
No, he took over
his
identity.
We'll flood them all up.
Yeah. I prefer my TV shows to not have some kind of backdoor, like, message when it comes to stuff like that. You know, they did it earlier with the whole, like, it's bad enough you're gay, but you're also a gay Mexican. You're like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? You know, with Maggie earlier in the year. And now it was like this. And it was just like a one line thing that it doesn't ruin anything. It's just like, ugh.
And it took me out for a second.
And that's the problem.
And yeah. for a split second, because, you know, we're always watching these shows because we want to escape reality a little bit.
Yeah. And it's fine that they have puns and jokes and stuff like that, but it was just like a weird thing. Like, well, you chose to take on the face of a black man, and it's hard to be a black man. Why did you do it? Well, because my son took over a black guy. Because that's who he killed to take over that body. No? Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Again, that was my only issue with like this part of the storyline. And it wasn't a big thing, but the key word you said was it took you out.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
And that's what, you know, TV writers and stunt coordinators and everybody have to do is avoid that phrase, because that phrase is horrible. You know, the flying airplanes and the chasing Tyrannosaurus Rex took me out.
Yeah.
You know, this line took me out. You know, mm-hmm. You're just like, oh, let me look at my phone for a second.
Yeah. And I did, honestly. At that point, I checked Facebook. And I mean, sometimes it's kind of a hard balance, because it's kind of cool to have our shows like referring to what is going on in the world sometimes. And like,
but you that know, one's make, kind of blatant.
Yeah. Like certain situations with like, you know, I can't even think of an example where I was like, that's actually kind of awesome. But, you know, you have those things where they bring in the real world situations. And I'm like, that's kind of cool that they pointed that out.
Yeah.
But then there's other times where it's like, you don't need to.
Yeah.
And it seemed like I almost feel like it was kind of forced in that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, if it's natural, awesome. Love it. If it's kind of
goes in the
forced
flow of the
in
story,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then that's when I'm like,
I don't know if I had two aliens at the table. I don't know if I'd be asking why I took over a black man's body.
Exactly.
I'd be like, what the fuck's going on Mars?
Yeah.
Anyway,
like, what? How about that space travel?
Exactly. So let's get into final thoughts. I guess you can go first because it's only me and you.
I know, it's only two of us. So final thoughts. It was a nice like way to return without like throwing too many things at us at once. Cause I mean, we still have the big storyline of Rain and now Lena. And obviously we all wanted to know a little bit more about that. I really liked they had the teaser at the end. But I'm totally fine with not jumping right back into the big dramatic storyline with all the emotions that are happening. I like that we got a chance to focus on Wynn. He's awesome. I love him. Sweet little cinnamon roll Wynn. The effects were but I'm gonna go ahead and say it's because they're saving it for something huge later.
Exactly.
And I'm okay with this.
Yeah, like I'll have my appetizer as long as my fucking dinner is delicious.
Exactly. That better be fucking amazing. and yeah, like overall I enjoyed it. I still enjoyed the episode. It was a nice way to come back, but definitely can't wait to see what's coming.
Yeah, exactly. I think you said it right. It was a good way to ease us back into the storyline, especially after 9 weeks off.
No, nine
you know,
weeks.
You come back and I don't know what I expected. It's like it was hard. I'm like, I'm glad you have a preview of what happened before, because 9 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really remember where we kind of left off.
And, yeah, I totally forgot majority of the things that happened.
We do a show about it, so.
Yeah, I mean, we also have like the attention span of squirrels.
What?
Exactly.
it was a good episode, good character development, especially with Wynn and leaving us to where we're going to go with Hank and Ara and Mon-El. You know, I like episodes that leave a lot of questions open or open new questions that don't seem like out of nowhere. And all these were like good things that happened and were developed the right way. You know, the Mon-El Kara thing we know has been going on now since they showed up.
Oh, yes.
And now it's just like, oh, shit. You know, now it's starting to get really, really real. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But it was a good comeback episode. CGI was lacking again.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen that often, and there wasn't that much going on, so I don't know how they couldn't do what they did really well.
Mm-hmm.
But storyline and everything was beautiful, and it was a good comeback.
Yeah, overall, really enjoyed it. I'm a little worried about what they're going to do between Mon-El and Kara. Like,
guess what? We don't have to wait anymore.
I know.
Because we have nine or eight more weeks straight without breaks of Supergirl. So we got that to look forward to.
God.
Yeah. There's no magical Easter break, then second Easter break, and then third Easter break like we've had to deal with the other shows. But that'll do it for today's DC on CW Supergirl edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man app. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, and Instagram DC_on_CW. And we'll be back next week, and hopefully long time soon.
How did you do that?
I'm Supergirl.
You're who now?